Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Welcome to Fireteam Chat, IGN's Destiny Show. Thank you so much for joining us today. Joining me in the studio today is CJ Gibson.
What's up?
And Stephen Rue.
Hello, everyone.
Stephen Rue does a lot of gameplay of Destiny, Fortnite, PUBG here on IGN. And he's backpacked me through trials before. We've done many Destiny activities together. He works with my team here at IGN.
Yep, Destiny is my boss.
Yeah. So what kind of content are you creating here?
My official role is a gameplay producer. Right now, Fortnite is all the craze, so I've just been stuck on that.
Stuck on it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Rough
long
life
live,
you got
long
there.
Long live Fortnite.
Fortnite and PUBG. What's your Destiny history? How many hours did you play of Destiny 1?
So I first started on Xbox.
Yeah.
I think I have maybe 1,500 hours on Xbox.
Okay.
And then I went to PlayStation during Taken King.
Yeah.
And I think I have maybe 3,000 hours on PlayStation.
Yeah, you've played a little bit.
Yeah.
You've played a little bit.
It's an okay game.
Just a few trials rounds in there, you know?
Yeah. Sean is out on a shoot. Fran is also in LA doing some Fran, you know, vice president, whatever he does,
he does
stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah. But on today's show, I should have got to this a little bit sooner. We're going to be talking all about the Iron Banner 6v6. What do we think? Breaking news, everybody. We like it. We're also going to talk about the Destiny Summit. We're going to talk about those exotic changes and progression changes coming to Destiny 2. Let's get right into it, guys. Iron Banner is pretty fun.
It is.
Yeah, 6v6 is the way to go. I like that teams can like get on point, capture them faster. I'm really glad that I played before the show because I've been feeling very just like, why? There's nothing really to chase or anything. And then I'm like, oh, yeah, because sometimes you just play a game to have a little bit of fun. I forgot about that.
Exactly. And that's what's weird. Now, it's still pretty sweaty. Did you feel that? I mean, I played with Steven for a little bit. I also solo queued because I want to get an idea of what those both felt like. What did you think then? Because you just solo queued.
I solo queued for two matches. I lost the first one barely. And I was, I yelled at my TV a little bit. I'm like, capture the point.
You yelled at the TV?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. If you're watching my God of War playthrough of God of War, I've been yelling a little bit every once in a while over on Twitch.
but you liked it.
Yeah. I did like it. And it gives me a peek into the positive changes they're making ahead of the May 8th reveal.
Yes.
So that's going to be really good. We're going to see more of that on April 24th, the new Warmind expansion, which is coming to Destiny 2. Steven, you have not been too high on Destiny lately. You played Iron Banner, and you said some weird words. What was it?
I love 6v6 Iron Banner.
Oh, there it is. There you go.
Please make it permanent.
Right? Right. It's like old school control. It's pretty fast paced.
Yeah.
I can get my tractor cannon trolls in there.
Oh gosh. I watched you do that a dozen times and I was like, dear God.
Yeah. My loadout is, Antiope. Thank you, Pope.
Yeah, I heard that.
It's I think it's Nurgle.
He means
it's like the poor man's Entirely. Nurgle.
Yeah. You missed last week.
And then tractor cannon, and everyone's like Such tractor cannon. But when you hit somebody, they like pop super and you're like, "Cool, get away from
Boom.
me." And then you nuke them with Antiope.
I mean, good luck with that.
Yeah.
Antiope. I heard Pope's explanation, though. And he's a teacher, so that's fair. No, 66
doesn't know what he's talking about. No,
66 is awesome. I will say that, yeah, feel any more team shotting? Because I didn't feel that as much. And I think it's a combination of just people rolling a little bit freer.
I was getting a little more chaos. I was getting team shot. I think people are just hopping in to have fun now and be a little bit less sweaty.
Yes.
What do you think, Steven?
For the first time in Destiny 2, I had so much fun. And to be honest, when they said Hero Moments would be back, I didn't really feel it until 6v6.
Yeah.
I think Hero Moments are back in 6v6 because it's so chaotic. There is no clumping.
Yeah.
And there's more power ammo because there's more players now.
Yeah.
And for the first time ever, I kept saying, let's play one more.
You said one more
one
to
more.
Me.
And we played until 3 a.m. last night.
Yeah.
And I had a blast. Like, yeah. I'm
that's
loving
pretty good.
It. I'm
yeah.
absolutely loving it. It'll come back in what, 3 weeks maybe?
Yeah. Yeah, I think
because it's on a rotating playlist.
This is the last one of the season.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And I mean, I think the biggest question that comes out of this is now, looking back at 4v4, and I think the decision was made, obviously, for, you know, competitive reasons, mm-hmm. it seems really odd now looking at how fun this is,
yeah.
why they did that. And now, I mean, the maps didn't feel small to me. Mm-hmm. Some of them feel like you're spawning around and doing maybe, you know, I still am catching people spawning on certain maps. But overall, like Burnout feels amazing. Like mm-hmm. that feels as close to Destiny 1 as I can actually remember the game feeling in the last like few months. So
yeah definitely good.
To piggyback off that, there are certain maps that I did not like at all.
Right. Oh, which
4v4. Ultra Flame, I hated that map.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Last night we played it maybe like 5 or 6 times. 6v6, it's my favorite map.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And it's crazy it's how four extra players makes it so much more fun.
Yep.
It's probably just because there's constantly something happening. There's either power ammo to chase or somebody to mm-hmm. engage with and fight against. And yeah.
And this was some of my, you know, comments about Rumble as well. Like, I understand, again, like the spawns need to maybe be adjusted a little bit. They designed the maps with 4v4 in mind. But yeah, there's that when there's a lot more people on the map, you get a chance to have interactions and engagements more often. It feels less clumpy, more chaotic. And I mean, that's what Destiny 1 was. It was a lot of fun. Like, it was not as balanced as what Destiny 2 has been the last few months. So
I have to say this. You guys are trial players, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mainly you guys prefer trials over Iron Banner. I'm an Iron Banner guy. Iron Banner was like my favorite mode in Destiny 1. I played regularly even after I had the gear just because like you would chase the weapons and such.
Yeah, yeah.
And I really, really enjoy that. And I'm super, super happy that it's a fun experience again. Yeah. Like they're reverting it back to Destiny 1 and it's nice to hop in and just have a good time. Even though my characters are at max power, I don't really have anything to chase.
Yeah.
I mean, I could log in as my hunter, but I'm just like sort of whatever.
Yeah.
I'm excited and I'm happy that we have this again.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's totally. A fun mode to experience.
Totally.
Yep.
So let me just go over the notes that you wrote here. Team shot. Yeah, it looks like we went over everything.
Yeah.
So let's talk real quick about one of the weapons that some people might be using. The DFA. Did anybody grind that out besides Fran Mirabella, who's not here? He probably didn't get it.
Yeah. And no, Fran did get it.
I know.
Okay. I was going to say, I wasn't 100% sure because he grinded it with Teddy, who also got it after like 50-some grinding. Jeez. Yeah, but it seems like normal is the way to go.
Yep. So Fran was talking about that. He's like, don't even bother because the percentage increase, it clashes with the amount of
time
it takes
spend.
To do it on hard mode. So just do it on normal and you have just as much chance to get it.
Yeah. So
basically.
Yeah. So you don't have it. You didn't get it either. I mean, I was noticing a little bit of getting hit with it in Iron Banner, not tons, but I'm wondering if that's because A, people don't have it, or maybe it's just like, I mean, I don't know. What do you think about it from what you've seen about the gun?
So I tried maybe 5 or 6 times to get it and I didn't get it. But the problem with me with Destiny 2 is, every gun has a category, like 140 RPM, 150 RPM. And to me, no matter what gun you use, as long as it's that archetype, it feels the same to me.
And that's why I'm not chasing it. That is the exact reason
for me
I'm not
too.
Chasing
yeah.
it.
Yeah. For, like, that gun feels like any other hand cannon for me in that archetype.
Yeah. Silicon Aroma. The
sniper, I have better though. Devils. I'm good.
Right. Silicon Aroma, though, the sniper has like super quick ADS. Mm-hmm. So that's really
nice. I have Alone as a God.
Alone as a God, but that's the trade off there. But you're right. So I think, but it's the first time I've actually felt like I've wanted to invest like time to chase something in the game. And that's been rare. So
I'll agree. Like, I don't want people to take away that this is a negative. I said it before on the show. I'm very happy with what they're doing with the Nightfalls.
Yep.
It should be weapons for every Nightfall.
Yep.
It should be a unique weapon. Mm-hmm. I don't know why we're chasing a Sparrow this week.
Yeah.
But
I mean,
whatever.
Well, So, I mean, I think some of the reason why is because when people were talking about it being locked behind Eververse.
We talked about this last week. You're just saying they want stuff to chase. Totally agree.
Yeah.
Cosmetics.
Could it be both at the same time, right? Yeah. It could be like, hey, you do this and then there's a chance at getting the Sparrow and then there's a chance at also getting the hand cannon. So then if you actually doubled up and there was a certain strike that you know you could do both and potentially have a chance, I think that makes more sense. So
yeah, like when it was Omnigul, you had a chance at a Bond or, well, if you're running Warlock or
Grasp of Malice.
And the pulse rifle, which was dope.
Yeah, it was disgusting.
Did the pulse rifle have randoms or was it a locked?
No, it was random rolls. All random. Yeah. That's the reason why people did it over and over again. So that was the other reason why. It's like, you know, the God roll conversation. They made some notes about, you know, randomization and what that means further down the line. So yeah, if that comes into play, and it would be nice in a way if it was strikes, like that's the other thing. Like I want to be able to grind that if I want to, but like, I mean, it's cool. It's cool that it's at least available on Nightfalls to be able to get something unique. So.
And it's interesting to hear that other games are like, oh yeah, and it will be dropped with a random roll on it because they're learning that like, oh hey, people want to chase the minutia different set of perks for each weapon.
I mean, this is a conversation we keep having. Like, some people are for random rolls, some people are against. The issue is, I think, for the people who are against it and felt like that it's not a good grind they wanted, it's not replaced with anything. So there needs to be something else to do if it's not random rolls.
Yeah.
And there really hasn't been much else to grind for in Destiny. Mm-hmm.
I think they had something with the randomization.
Yeah.
People seem to be chasing it. What's your take? Did you like grinding out for
random? I like random rolls.
Yeah.
I think they need to find a balance between it because in Destiny 1, while there were a lot of random rolls, you could get, for instance, Omnigul, you could get a Grasp of Malik that was borderline useless because it didn't have stability or anything.
Yeah.
If they could find a balance to make every drop useful, but other drops more desirable
than others,
then that would be nice.
You could get actual trash rolls that you just delete immediately.
Yeah, I mean, this goes back to the conversation we keep having.
It's like pulling the slot machine, right? Yeah. Did you hit the triple cherry or did you hit the jackpot?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, but at least now, and this is, I think, what's exciting about exotics, because they're finally looking to be a little more exotic.
Fantastic segue, CJ Gibson.
It's like I wrote it.
Let's talk about that. So the exotics in Destiny 2 have been teased. They're getting a dramatic revamp, as we know. We got to look at Rat King, Skyburner's Oath, and
Graviton Lance.
And they look dope.
They do.
Why didn't the exotics – why weren't they like this from the launch, though? It's just kind of nuts.
This is a very good question. I think I know why. I mean, I can offer a take on it.
I think they wanted to play it safe. They wanted to be balanced.
Balanced, mm-hmm. Right.
And now they're just like – Let's break everything.
Break the game. Yeah.
The title of the show is going to be PvP. Destiny, something along the lines of Destiny 2 Exotics will break PvP. And that's awesome. It's like,
it really is.
They're just like, let's break everything. Let's just let people break our sandbox and have fun with the game. Rat King looks so fun.
Yeah,
I wish that was the exotic that we got.
Yeah.
Graviton. Yeah. I will say somebody shot a rocket in there though.
I know. So that first shot. They showed the video and then you're like, what's happening? But then they did the second shot and it still looks OP. It's like a different version of Outbreak Prime in a way with the,
It does look like
Outbreak Prime. Yeah. The Seekers are cool. Yeah.
But you're right. And I think they did this intentionally for PvP, which at this point, nobody's like caring. Like that was the number one complaint that PvP was so balanced that everything felt the same. Finally, and Skyburner's Oath, hip firing when you jump through the sky.
Hip fire seeking mini explosions.
That looks awesome. That looks super cool. So,
that's how it's done. Yeah, and it's just
exciting.
All right, Bungie still got that magic. They know what to do. It's just, it's very strange to me that they just didn't go for it.
It's the balance, man. It's PvP versus PvE. Like I keep saying, and even if you think about a lot of these decisions when we covered the event back in May, all those things really surprised me. And it goes back to two primaries and one power, 4v4 only on all maps. Like all these things seem to cater towards like the hardcore PvP crowd.
Yeah.
And that didn't seem to work that well. So.
I cannot wait to see what they did with Tractor Cannon because they teased it a little bit and I'm already using it all the time you guys watch me at my desk and I'm like, this is so fun.
I can't wait for Sunshot. Huge explosions.
Yeah. Well, John Wisniewski posted that tweet with the bridge collapsing at Sunshot. Do you remember that?
I don't.
Yeah. He's like, okay, we're testing out Sunshot here. And then there's like a bridge being detonated and it goes and it like crumples into pieces. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, it's exciting to think of now seeing a few of these, what it could be and what it means for potential other exotics that are released, but others that, you know, might make a return.
Is it all, well, I would say, is it all flash or is the damage there? But we saw what you could do with Rat King. You were melting the raid guards, basically, which right now, that doesn't happen.
And, I mean, I'd be remiss to not mention this, Vigilance Wing. Right now, if you're playing PvP, you're using what weapon?
I am using Vigilance Wing as my kinetic.
So that's the thing.
It has such a fast TTK.
The TTK is insane, and if it ends up being one of those things where TTK on a lot of the exotics ends up being a lot faster, this was kind of some of the meta thing that I think that they could do. Rather than revamping it or updating the meta, they just introduce new weapons that are stronger, and people will gravitate towards that. So it's less about tweaking the old meta and creating new weapons, and I think the exotics are going to do that. So
I really want to play with Tractor Cannon. I want to see what it does, because right now already you hit them and then they just smash against the wall, and every player I use it against, they have no clue what happened.
But are you?
They're super confused, and I'm just like, this is so great.
You're the biggest troll. Of all the things, have they even mentioned something about Tractor Cannon being buffed? Or
I think they something about the trajectory at which they go flying.
Okay.
I don't know.
Maybe they go faster. They're not touching a couple of them, right? Like Merciless, I think they're not touching Merciless.
Yeah, I mean, they've only talked about a few, so from that standpoint, yeah, it'd be interesting to see. My thing is, if you look back at Destiny 1, you think about the exotics that wreak the most havoc in PvP and PvE. Thorn.
Last Word.
Last Word. Gallahorn, obviously.
Gallahorn,
but,
Truth.
And Hawkmoon. So those were things that broke down the TTK and PvP. Like, when you got double-shotted with Hawkmoon, you were like, what just happened?
But it was kind of great when you were the one shooting it, and you could see the weapon that you were dying to. You're like, oh, it's a Hawkmoon.
I understand.
And they had to adjust the proc rate on it, right?
Will say the one thing I did like what they did with Destiny 2 is they took out luck in the chamber.
Like a perk. I mean, I miss it too.
That was
man.
A fun perk.
I don't know. I wasn't a fan of luck in the chamber because if you're in a heads up fight, it shouldn't go down to RNG. If you're both hitting shots.
I hear you.
And one bullet does more damage than the other.
Well, this is ghost
bullets. That sounds really boring.
But this is ghost bullets, and then also, what's the in-air accuracy? Like bloom. These are all the things that we talk about that add a certain amount of randomization that for the most part, I don't dig either, but as a perk, it's not bad. Like, it's situational. I get it. I mean, at this point in time, though, PvP has been so balanced that people have not been digging it. So just break it. These exotics are breaking it.
Yeah.
I'm super stoked.
Definitely. In addition to the exotic changes, which we've loved the previews, I think they've previewed enough, though. I want to get in the sandbox and try any others out for myself.
Yeah.
There is also going to be a progression change. They're changing it. And I'm just going to read off my paper here, so we should go to the wide. But, the result that was achieving the cap felt less satisfying. It was easy, and there weren't any activities that dared to require it. Anyway, basically they're adjusting it so that the gap, there's a soft cap for Warmind of 340 and the hard cap is 380. And then that doesn't take into effect the +5. So the jump from 340 to 370 will be the same from 370 to 380. I believe that's what they said.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just reading a little further in. That looks like I got it right. Page 2. Yes.
Yeah. I mean,
so I'm actually kind of excited about that. I was worried that they were going to falsely string out the power climb, but after reading what they actually said about it, it sounds like they're reverting to more of a Destiny 1 thing without the exotic cheese.
Yes.
So they're getting rid of the exotic climb cheese.
Exotics.
How do you guys feel about that? Do you think they're going to falsely inflate the length of the Warmind, or do you think this is a smart strategy?
I mean, I think it's smart. I think the challenge that they have is that, people did a bunch of things to power up, but there was no reason to get max power. Yeah. Like, even the raid, you could do it so underleveled that it was kind of useless. So, I hope that there's activities that require you to actually have some power level to be difficult.
Yeah, they kind of talked about it. They want people coming in every week and doing the raid, doing Trials of Osiris, and doing their weekly events. How do you feel about the changes, Steven, to the climb?
We don't know, if it's going to include trials, because those things right now are not power level dependent.
Well, they actually say that the climb will be more impactful if you are doing trials or the weekly events like the raid.
I wonder if that means that they're potentially going to like bring light level back for those things.
Yeah. Well, so my take from that is you get higher light gear or higher power gear from those activities. It doesn't, to me, that doesn't mean that those activities will require light,
right?
Well, for trials.
But
I'm a PvP guy, but I love the grind to get to max light when the game first comes out, or when content first comes out. And
because it was cool, it's like, oh my god, that guy's at light cap already. How did he do it?
And I think that's what makes Destiny so lovable. But do you guys remember the Destiny 2 grind? It was just public events. And that was not fun. And I'm sure they learned from that. I'm excited for what they're changing. I wasn't very optimistic about Warmind, but after the 6v6 and the exotic videos, I'm getting optimistic.
Yeah, me too.
I'm getting excited. Too.
Now, campaign-wise, I'm still a little bit nervous because of the development time that they've had with it. Yeah. I hope the story is better than what we were given for Curse of Osiris.
Yeah.
I didn't love the Curse of Osiris story. I mean, you can read my review on IGN.com. So we're going to see what happens with Warmind and go from there. Yeah.
I feel like if Curse of Osiris like had a little bit more of a post-game grind, because the campaign's one thing, it's all very easy. That's where I hope there's a little bit more challenge to it. Right now, we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about a game that just came out, God of War, which is super exciting.
Fantastic.
That game is
Great
progression loop. It's difficult. Like, it's actually a hard game.
I'm planning on giving God of War mode, just
there
saying.
There you go, yeah. and so I'm playing through it right now, too. But there's something to be said about games that feel like they have a nice progression and that are difficult. Like, Destiny 2, coming into it, from a campaign standpoint, felt way too easy. And there was nothing to do after that felt difficult besides the raid.
So I'm playing Giving God of War, hardest mode. Right. Mm-hmm. And every time you pass every encounter, you feel like a god.
Accomplishment.
God. It's like an accomplishment. It's like, yes, I statted properly. I put the runes in the right slots and everything. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, there was a game where I used to get this sort of feeling when I figured out an encounter, figured out the best DPS. And God of War has that right now. And I hope Destiny learns to bring that back.
And that's the balance that I think they were trying to achieve. And I just think they went too far in the opposite direction. Yeah. Right. Like, I mean, we all remember, Val's Ark. Like, it took forever to kill him to the point you're like, well, see you later.
Yeah.
You
just, oh, it's Ballast this week? I'm good.
I'm out. I'm just like going to kill up the next raid. So, and that music is, oh, dear God. It's still.
Entered a war with the Cabal.
Exactly. No.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I understand some of the decisions why, but too far in one direction. I'm glad they're kind of making a pivot back. And yeah, I hope that there's other activities that get released where strikes feel like they're difficult. Would you guys like Power Level to come back for Trials and Iron Banner? I mean,
yes.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting.
Steven? I want it to come back for Iron Banner because that's
not Trials.
Trials. I don't mind it not being there because their decision to not make it light level based or powerless. I keep saying light level.
No, that's okay.
Allows more players to play, which is always a good thing. I think Iron Banner is a weekly event that you play to get light level. But I think for Trials, it should just be the gameplay itself. Anyone can play and get the loot.
I remember when I would hop over to my Xbox character that was super low and I'd hop into Iron Banner for the week. And I'd be like, if I get a kill, really, I've won because I am way under leveled for this event.
but I think that's good. I agree with Steven. Like the power level thing as a barrier to entry for Trials was not good because the competitive PvP guys just wanted to play it. Even right now, playing through the campaign to be able to play Trials on your second and third character, that's a bit of a grind too for those people because they don't want to do it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, it's good, but I agree with you. Iron Banner.
Iron Banner, I think it should be power level enabled. Trials,
no.
I don't mind it not being power level enabled.
Yeah. I agree.
Right. So with all this stuff in mind, you guys seem to be pretty excited going into May 8th. What do you think is going to happen with the PvE sandbox versus the PvP? Do you think it's going to be positive? Do you think PvP is going to be a disaster for a while? I do. But I think PvE is going to be a blast.
When you say disaster, what do you mean?
I mean, like, it's going to be – everyone's going to be figuring out what to do. You're not going to be going against the same
archetypes.
A good disaster.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Disaster,
right. But in a positive
way. Right. Destin is being positive today.
Yeah.
It's like, what?
Yeah,
what do you think?
PvP, they're not going to – I want them to lower the TTK.
Right.
I'm an advocate of that. I still am very iffy on the 4v4. If they bring 6v6 as a permanent playlist, I'll be in that mode. For the PvE, I'm – pretty excited. Can I give my little insight on the PvE?
Sure. That's why you're here.
For the Curse of Osiris post-game activities aside, I think the biggest disappointment of Curse of Osiris was, and you guys were talking about God of War. I haven't played God of War yet, but to me, it seems like there's a super big investment on the father and son relationship.
Yes.
Is that safe to say?
Yeah.
For Curse of Osiris, Osiris was this character that we haven't seen for three and a half years in Destiny 1.
Actually, never really, right?
Yeah, never.
Yeah.
But there was always lore about it, grimoire about it. Yeah. People wanted to know more about him. And we were so invested in the character. Curse of Osiris just felt like a huge dud. It did not live up to the character that we imagined.
Yeah.
For Warmind, I want to be invested into Rasputin or whoever it is, Charlemagne. I want, after the campaign is over, I want to feel satisfied about waiting 3.5 years for this character.
Right.
If we go into Warmind and kill whatever it is, and that's it, I'm going to be super disappointed. Well, or if he's like, you did great, Guardian. I've made this world of infinite realities, but really you're only going to get like three or four.
See you later.
You know, also goodbye.
Yeah.
You'll never see me again.
Some attachment to the campaign.
Yeah.
And I want the campaign to feed into the excitement of going into that raid.
Yeah.
And I know we're not getting a new raid, right? We're getting a raid layer.
Yeah. Raid layer.
So it's not going to be a Rasputin based raid, but I want the campaign to make the player base feel excited. And I feel
I never
like
want another
Bungie
raid
has
layer.
That problem.
Well, so here's the thing. I actually don't mind the raid layers overall. Like I think like Argos and like Eater of Worlds was really good, but I totally feel you on the disconnect with the actual campaign or what happens in the campaign versus, you know, post like.
Yeah. And I
know,
think that's why completion. Taken King was such a great expansion.
As well. Yeah.
The campaign led directly into the raid.
Yes.
You killed Oryx and then you have to kill
kind of
Big Daddy Oryx.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. But yeah. And even Crota, right? For the Dark Below, for all the problems that if you look back that people complained about, it felt very progressive in that, okay, we're fighting up. We've heard about this baddie. Now we're going to like take him down.
Yeah.
And that does feel as a disconnect.
I hope they bring that
the
back.
Campaign and the raid.
I love the raid layer.
Yeah, it's really good.
I am excited for the raid layer, but I am getting kind of sick of that theme, the Kallus theme.
Right. That's what I'm saying. I don't want to like be given a raid and then be given another piece and another piece and another piece of it.
Yeah.
All going to that same place. Yeah. I don't like going to the raid planet.
Exactly.
I don't like that. I like in Destiny 1 that they all had sort of a unique theme.
Different theme.
Yeah. They kind of do that with this, but you always go to that ship.
It's still Cabal.
Yeah.
And I think we're just a little jaded on that right now.
Yeah. Well, that was the other thing. I mean, that's a number one request when I look at Reddit and everywhere else. It's like, we want a new enemy type. We want a new character. We want a new planet that feels, I mean, and obviously it's going to be Mars, so we'll see what they've done with it, but there needs to be some kind of new faction or enemy that feels different.
Why do you think it's going to be Mars exactly?
Well, I don't know. Is it
the leaks?
Well, yeah. I mean, so we have
snow caps.
Exactly.
Mars,
right? Yeah, snow cap Mars. Like, we have no official.
Did you guys see that tweet? I think it was Eric
Osborne.
Did you see his tweet? He retweeted NASA, I think.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Yeah, NASA was talking about the snow-capped dunes of Mars, and he retweeted it, and he said something witty, but I think it's going to be Mars.
All right, well, that would be pretty interesting. The final topic we have this week is we just want to talk a little bit about the Creator Summit. So a lot of Destiny creators are going to Bungie to kind of give them direct feedback about the May 8th DLC and what they think of it. And yeah, so I just want to talk about that. We got YouTubers, live streamers, and various community members, podcasters going. And so what Deej actually said about it was, Thursday and Friday, we'll be honored and humbled to host a small but insightful sampling of the community here in our studio. They'll be here to give us their opinions on our goals and on our plans. Some of them you know, some of them we know. We want you to know that this is not the only way we're gathering feedback about Destiny 2. Because they already do this. They do this every week. I'm glad that the content creators are there and that they're giving this feedback.
Yeah.
But having spoken to Bungie in the past, anything I tell them, anything feedback-wise, they're like, oh, yeah, we had those conversations.
Yeah.
You know. So they are collecting that data.
Yeah.
They know what people want and the adjustments that need to be made, which is why it's so shocking to me, like, how did Destiny 2 end up the way it is? And I'm hoping that the May 8th adjustment happens.
So it's interesting when you list all the different
way.
Yeah, let's list all the different people who are there.
Yeah.
The challenge is, I mean, even when I've done a poll for something, is there's a varying degree of people who want different things with the game. There's like PvP, there's PvE, there's the lore, you know, side of things. So it's hard to please a diverse group of people and then still feel like you're doing the thing that you want to do. So yeah, I hope that they have a chance to get it, you know, to talk to them and even see some stuff. And yeah, I don't know. Obviously there's been embargoes on some of its stuff, you know,
that
they're going to talk
about. It's coming
about,
soon.
But yeah, it's
probably April 24th will be the Bungie reveal. And then the 25th or something.
Yeah.
Or the 24th will be when embargo's up for everybody. Then they usually do a stepped embargo, right?
Yeah.
So like a 3-tier thing. And then May 8th, we'll all get to play.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
So some comments that you took down, CJ, from YouTube chat, for example. Daniel Reed 4 says, seriously, the real reason Bungie are bringing streamers and content creators in is because they want you as community leaders to start the hype train for the next DLC. I mean, that's marketing strategy, sort of.
I mean, that's the thing. Like, I've seen that comment a lot. And without being a Bungie employee, I mean, there's probably a certain amount of that. Like, there's a lot of people who are you know, there's some people who are obviously still invested in the community. There's some people who have fallen off the Destiny train and are just not playing it. They definitely want to feel like they're communicating with people, even if it's not the hype train, to just say, hey, you know what? We've heard your feedback. This is the real reason you're here. Obviously, we don't know their intentions.
Yeah.
So I understand that, you know, that mindset. But, you know, until we actually know or hear from them, I mean, that makes sense. But
it's not a hype train strategy, I don't think. I disagree with what this person said.
I think
Bungie can do that themselves by doing their own live streams and showing off people what they say. I think they're bringing in these people to get direct feedback and show the community that they are getting direct feedback from the community, even though we all know they already know this.
Yes.
Whatever those guys are going to say, fix the vault. Whatever those guys are going to say, Bungie has heard it before.
Yes.
I don't know from where. But Steven, is there any feedback that you think that they're not going to get in this format?
Well, that comment is a valid complaint. I can see why a lot of people think that.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of people on this list that don't play Destiny 2 anymore.
Yeah.
But they have large communities. And
Gathalion.
Yeah.
Most of them.
Yeah. But looking at this list, there's a lot of names that I am familiar with that have a level headed and they're not just going to feed into the hype.
Yeah.
And I think at this point in the state of the game, they do have their concerns about the game and I think they are going to voice them. And I feel comfortable with this group of people talking to Bungie. I don't think it's a hype, what did he say? A hype train for the next DLC?
Like a PR hype train, yeah.
Yeah, it's not a PR. As far as I know, they're not allowed to talk about it until April 24th anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, like you said, Bungie's going to hype it themselves on April 24th.
Yeah.
So, I hope that this group of people will voice their concerns that their community has been telling them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And in turn, I hope Bungie assures them or shows them we are really listening.
Yeah.
And here's an example.
Honestly, I don't want to see their whatever gameplay capture that they do. I want to hear how Bungie is listening to us and what their impressions are about how Bungie was listening.
I'm hoping that they give them a direct example. Like, for example, like, oh, you guys want to lower TTK? This is what's coming in September.
Yeah. And the videos are great in the Bungie blog. I think that's the challenge in general. And I mean, that's the reason why
they're all about putting up and not saying anything until they can.
So that's the thing, right? Like, that's why I had to pick that comment out. It's like the we are listening thing, that is at the point now where it's been said so many times.
It feels patronizing.
It feels patronizing and frustrating, right? So that I can understand why people feel that way. But on the other side of it, you know, I've said this about Destiny in general, is there's a part of you that does want to be excited. And there's a part of you that wants to believe in that magic. And it takes a long time to do game development. When you see the God of War creator go on there and talk about all the process in the last like 3 or 4 years and how emotional it is, there's a lot invested into these things.
Totally.
I want to feel like there's some surprises still with knowing a little bit what's going on behind the scenes, but there's an incredible amount of balance that goes into, hey, this is the product that we believe and want you guys to experience, and at the same time not feeling like, okay, now we've made it a little too high and you have this expectation. I think that's been Bungie's challenge the last like 6 months, is setting the expectations properly.
And you know, before, like, everybody was anti Luke Smith, I think people love Luke Smith because he's kind of cuts through the bullshit. You know, he's really honest about his feelings, about how he feels about the game. And you don't necessarily get that when you're getting a press release or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, he just kind of cuts through all that and is very straightforward.
It is.
And it's appreciated by the community.
It is. And it's unfortunate because for the most part, some of those things that he says, like, he's a very kind of cavalier guy. Mm-hmm. It gets taken and thrown out of context. And then it gets used as a meme later on. So, but he's not on, you know, Reddit and social media, you know, making a bunch of derogatory comments or anything like that. So, yeah, hopefully people can see that side of, you know, the creators there and understand that they're passionate about this game and really want it to be the best it can be.
Typical apologist, CJ.
Oh, there it is.
What do you got,
chill.
I wouldn't mind if they did this more often, because with Destiny's problem has always been they take a long time to change the sandbox or do something.
Yeah.
And then by the time it's out, it takes too long to change if people don't like it.
Yeah.
Well, you have to agree.
And that frustrates the community. Mm-hmm. But if they do these summits more often, show what they're going to show, and then get a general feedback, we don't like this, we do like this, then they can change it more proactively.
I'll say this. They take community feedback regularly. They don't do it publicly in a fashion like this. And that's what they're doing different this time.
And that is why I'm optimistic that they're doing this.
Yep.
Real 5 said, it doesn't have to be amazing. Look at D1 Year 1. Dark Below was meh. House of Wolves wasn't amazing, but it showed progress. Then we got Taken King, probably the pinnacle because they changed all kinds of stuff. This is the time frame we need to anticipate. September, before we get the big changes we want, what we need Warmind to do is show us it's headed back in the right direction. Well, 6v6, Rumble, 8.
Yep.
Putting it down to 6,
yep.
You know, kind of messing around with that stuff. I think it is showing that they are making faster adjustments.
Yeah.
And it's been positive. And I hope the community comes back because I love this game and I want it to be successful. And that's why I'm so salty up most of the time, because I'm like, it's like, I know Bungie knows better. Yeah. And I just want my game, the game that I love to play, to be great again.
Yeah. You know? And that's the overarching theme in, like, I think Reddit posts and YouTube and all that stuff. Yeah. Let us know what you think. Like, I'm actually curious to here, because a lot of people say we focus on PvP a little bit more than PvE. I think the game should be balanced around PvE. And this is as a PvP player. To me, the Destiny, you know, this needs to be a hardcore esports 4v4 competitive, because that's what Halo was.
That boat has sailed.
That boat.
Yeah, it's like we don't have private matches yet. No, we're not getting that.
To me,
yeah.
I felt that that's what they were leaning into at the reveal, and I don't feel like that anymore. Yeah. And now it's like, make the game broken in the best kind of way that makes PvE super fun and bring that craziness to PvP. Like,
totally agree.
Thorn, Last Word, Crazy Fast TTK, make Vigilance, you know, the new thing and everything, bring everything up to that. So, yeah, Josh Hamrick made the smoothening out, you know, but that's exactly what they need to do. They need to leave the spikes of personality in the weapons.
Yeah. Totally agree. We are at time for the show. Steven, thank you so much for joining us
today. Thank you for having me.
Thanks, yeah, man. People can check out your stuff regularly on youtube.com/IGN.
Yeah, and you guys can also follow me on Twitter at STEVRYU. Yeah.
Stevru. First plug.
That's right. Yep. Wow.
Nicely done, man.
He's pretty good. He's all right.
Yeah, he's all right. He's okay.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah. All right, so we're going to wrap it up. And audience, that's all we have this time. So until next time, Guardians out.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts, with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.